every day, greater is he that is in me. Amen? Mercy. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31 of the Amplified Classic Edition says, "For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not fail you or destroy you or forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them." We should be thankful that he is merciful. He is merciful. He's compassionate. He is so compassionate. And those mercies, they just go on and on and on. Look to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. God gave me this before I came out this morning. He said, "Take my people there." Lamentations chapter 3. Look to verse 23. "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies are renewed every morning. Every morning. He is so merciful. Turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And we want to look to verses 1, 2, and 3. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Might I add, all the time? "For his mercy endures forever." Oh, give thanks to God, the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy for all of us is motivated by his great, great, extravagant love for all of us. There is an inseparable connection between God's love and mercy. And it's to our internal benefit. The word says what? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Thank you, Jesus, that we have the mercy. That he is so merciful. Because if you look at James chapter 2, and we're going to read that verse 13. James chapter 2, verse 13. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." What's that telling us there? Do not judge. Do not judge. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Jesus speaking here, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." Do not judge others. Show mercy. Exercise grace. Exercise grace. You can turn to Matthew chapter 18. Yeah, Matthew chapter 18. And here again, Jesus is speaking. Okay? But this is the Message Bible now. The kingdom of God is like a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, one servant was brought before him who had run up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay up. So the king ordered the man, along with his wife, children, and goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. Back in the day, if you owed someone and you couldn't pay, they could have you put in prison. And they put you in prison so that either you would sell everything that you owned to pay off the debt, or hopefully that your relatives would bail you out and pay the debt. Either way, they could put you in there. And you didn't get out till the debt was paid. And if you were put into slavery, it's the same thing. You served out the time till the debt was paid. Verse 26. The poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and he begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back. Please, please." Touched by his plea, the king let him off, erasing the debt. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. He seized him by the throat and demanded, "Pay now! Pay now!" The poor wretch threw himself down. He begged, same words, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back to you." But he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. When the other servants saw this going on, they were outraged and brought a detailed report to the king. They went and told on him. The king summoned the man and said, "You evil servant, I forgave your entire debt when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy?" The king was furious, and he put the screws to the man until he paid back his entire debt. "That's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy." That's Jesus speaking, folks. Are you listening? Are you listening? With mercy, there is forgiveness. And this parable reiterates the principle that we should forgive others because God forgave us. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught us how to pray to the Father. And I specifically was going to go with the one verse I wanted to point out, but I'm going to read starting verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus is teaching this. He said, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven." Come on, Nick, help me. "Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Oh, verse 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Whoa, there it is. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I said, "Yeah." And then the Lord said, "Read on." I went, "Oh," he said, "read on." I went, "Okay. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Ooh. A little bit of food for thought. Amen. and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus laid down his life and he became the sacrificial lamb so that God's mercy could be extended to us. Instead of punishing us for our sin, God allowed his son to take the condemnation in our place. See, this is the ultimate act of God's mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. In the Living Bible. I love that. Living Bible. Your Bible's living because it's God's Word. And His Word is alive. And it becomes alive when you speak it. Amen? Amen. The Word works, folks. Use the Word. Verse 4 of Ephesians 2. But God is so rich in mercy. So rich in mercy. And when I read that, I said, rich. I said, yeah. I started thinking, well, there's millionaires, there's billionaires, there's trillionaires. And then it goes on and on and on and on and on and on until you hit desolant. D-E-L-I-C-I-O-N. Desolant. Is that how you say that? And that was the last number they could come up to describe it. You can't describe the riches that our Heavenly Father has. He is so rich in everything that He has. In His mercy, He is so rich. He loves us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, He gave us back our lives again when He raised Christ from the dead. Only by His undeserving favor, which is grace, have we been saved. Grace and mercy both have similar meanings, but they are not the same. So to summarize the difference, mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. And grace is God blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. Mercy is His loving kindness in deliverance from judgment. Grace is extending His loving kindness through His unmerited favor. We didn't do anything to deserve it. Did we? His grace was extended. It's just some people that don't know it yet, and that's our job to make sure they know that He came full of grace, and grace was for them. And it's by grace that they could be saved, just as we were. Hallelujah. Psalm 145. His mercies are renewed every morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Psalm 145. Verse 1. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. I like one of the versions that says, unfathomable. So deep. So deep. People have gone so deep in the ocean, they still haven't found the bottom yet. Unfathomable. Unsearchable. His greatness. Verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger. Hallelujah for that. And great in mercy. great in His mercy for you and me. Yeah. Praise the Lord for His graciousness. He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger. And He is great in mercy. Great in mercy. In Psalm 86, verse 5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. He is ever ready to forgive. Ever ready to forgive. And abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Abundant in mercy. There it is again. Rich, great, abundant. Mercy, God's mercy, to all those who call upon Him. The Message Bible, verse 5, says, "You are well known as good and forgiving, big-hearted to all who ask for help." Y'all know when we say big-hearted, that we can relate to that. Pay attention, God, to my prayer. Bend down and listen to my cry for help. Every time I'm in trouble, I call on you, confident that you'll answer. Be confident He will answer you. It's found in His Word. What does it say? Psalm 91, verse 15. You shall call upon God, and God will answer you. Now, it doesn't read that way. It reads, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him." But see, you need to make it more personal. You shall call upon God and God will answer you. And you know, there'll be times you're saying, "Yes, but I don't even know how to pray." I mean, you don't know how to pray. Yeah. And I know, Lord. I was obedient. I heard you this morning. He said, "Go to Romans 8. I said, "Okay, Romans 8. And He says, look at verse 26 there. 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He knows the Word of God better than you do. And when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the will of God. When you don't know how to pray, you pray in the Spirit. And you don't just opera and walk away. No. Get into some serious Holy Ghost, Spirit-changing prayer, and it will change things. I know that for a fact. I've done it. When you take time to really pray in the Spirit and get it down, get it going, the Satan doesn't want you to believe that there's a possibility that happened. He doesn't want you believing and praying in tongues. But you better be praying in tongues, folks. That gives you so much more power. Because you're praying the will of God. Your spirit will start to get strengthened more. It'll start lining up. Because when you're weak, it says the Spirit's strong. In your weaknesses, He is strong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, if you haven't been, you come up here and we'll take care of that today. That gives you full power. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but you want full power. You want that. You don't want that 125 horse. You want that 500 horsepower. Hallelujah. And you know, when you mess up, you be quick to go to our loving, merciful, forgiving God and ask Him to forgive you. And then be confident that He will. He will answer you. And He will forgive you. What's it say in 1 John? 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, He is. He is faithful. You don't have to go to man. You go to God. You get on your knees. And you repent. And you open up your heart. And He'll clean it out. He'll clean it out for you. Amen. God is love and full of mercy and grace and forgiving. But then, once He forgives, don't you go out there and repeat that sin again. No. Pray for the strength to defeat the temptation the next time you are faced with it. See, the accuser and the tempter, he's out there. He's out there. Well, what are you to do? Well, Ephesians 6, 11, what's it tell us to do? In the Living Word, it says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks, temptations of the devil. Put on the armor, folks. Put on the armor. You don't know what armor is? You go back and you read it. Go back to Ephesians and read that, chapter 6. Now in Matthew 12, verse 7 of the NIV, Jesus said, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. And Jesus was only quoting what was back, what Hosea had said to the Israelites back in 6:6. That was it, chapter 6, verse 6, Hosea. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The mercy here that Jesus is talking about, Eleos. And that's what we've been talking about all along. Mercy. Eleos. E-L-E-O-S. And in this one, there are many breakdowns of it. But here he specifically wants to use the meaning that it's men towards men to exercise the virtue of mercy. Show oneself merciful. Jesus wants us to be merciful. Someone who is merciful, and it means, when I looked it up, is willing to be kind to and forgive people who are in their power. You have the power to forgive. You just have to make the choice to forgive. Yeah, you have the power. It's through the power of love. It's through the power of love. It is God's love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. It's already in you. And the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets with anything else. Your physical body. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. You start building up those muscles. Well, that love that we're talking about here, it's called agape love. Agape love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. This is from the Amplified Classic Edition, verses 4 through 8. Now, I'm going to just not use the word love, but where the word love is, I'm going to use the word agape, because that's God's love. Agape endures long and is patient and kind. Agape never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughty. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Agape, in parentheses, God's agape love is in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy, or fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Sounds like you got to be forgiving if somebody does something to you, because if you don't want to take no offense to that. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Agape bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Verse 8, agape never fails. God's love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. It can't come to an end because He's living forever, and we're going to go to eternity and live with Him and Jesus in all eternity. If you got Jesus in your heart. So His love never goes away. It's as strong as the day He showed it to us. Love. We can be merciful as He is merciful. That is what He desires of us. And what's it take? It takes love. It takes love. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
That's right. Everything. I can't stress that enough to you. And God has showed me that. He said, let my people know. Remind them, I love them. You go out there in that world and you get kicked around. You want to know that somebody loves you. Because the world isn't. World's not forgiving. The world puts the pressures on you constantly. Hallelujah. Love. Love. Love is all there is. Hallelujah. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to use the Message Bible again. Oh, thank God. He's so good. His love never runs out. All of you set free by God, tell the world. Tell them how He freed you from oppression, then rounded you up from all over the place, from the four winds, from the seven seas. Some of you wandered for years in the desert, looking, but not finding a good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion. Then in your desperate condition, you called out to God. He got you out in the nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. Verse 9. So thank God for His marvelous love, for His miracle mercy to the children He loves. You know the children He's talking about? That's us. That's us. That's us they're talking about. He's talking about right here. Verse 1, oh, thank God, He's so good. Come on, say that with me. Say, God is good, all the time, and all the time. God is good, and He is. Yes, He is. And what to say? His love never runs out. Never runs out. He's got so much love. So much love. So much love that He gave us His Son, Jesus, on that cross. King James, what's it say? His mercy endures forever. His mercy, His loving kindness towards us endures forever. He has been there so many times for all of us. You know, in that statement, that sort of falls short, don't you think? You know, what we ought to be saying is, let me tell you how good God is and what He's done for me, how He's changed my life. And I tell people all the time, He changed my life. I think He finally got me to where He wants me in the plan that He had for me. But I had to seek Him first and say, Jesus, forgive me. And from then on, it was nothing but a wonderful trip. And I've enjoyed every step of it. Has it been easy? No, because I made it hard at different points. I just need to be more willing and obedient and listen to what He has to say. I had a great teacher who taught me that. And He's sitting back there with us this morning. Awesome teacher. Holy Spirit moves big in that man. Always did, always will, in Jesus' name. So if He pulls you aside to talk to you about something, I mean, listen, because He's heard from God, and He's going to take time to help you. When He didn't think He could stand no more, He's still standing. He's still standing. Satan couldn't take that man down. How many of you have heard the song, Mercy Came Running, by Phillips, Craig, and Dean? I know you have, Dean. Okay. It says, Mercy came running, like a prisoner set free, past all my failures, to the point of my need. When the sin that I carried was all I could see, and when I couldn't reach mercy, mercy came running to me. When you go to God, He is merciful. His mercy will come running. His mercy is renewed every day, every morning. It's fresh. And when you call on His name, sometimes you don't know. You just say, Jesus! Jesus! Help me! Help me! I've been there. Tell me you haven't been there. Your head doesn't know what to do. Your heart all of a sudden doesn't know what to do. But you cry out to Jesus. Jesus, help me. And His mercy will come running to you in whatever situation you are in. And when you don't know how to pray, like I say, pray in the Spirit. Pray till you feel it break. And you'll know when you break it. And you'll have that peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. And I believe that's one of the problems we in the church nowadays, we don't do enough of. We don't pray in the Spirit enough. We give it a few Sundays and that's about it. We don't really get into praying in the Spirit. If we would, I don't think there'd be that many that are sick in the body. That's me. That's just me. Say this with me. Say, thank You, Lord, for Your love and mercy, that You continually show towards me. Every day. Every day. He's just so merciful. And you know He never changes. His Word says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Psalm 107, 1 and 2. The New King James says it this way. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He's good, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You have been redeemed, and you've been set free. That's what that means. You have been set free, redeemed. No more in bondage. No more bonds holding you. You're free. The Bible doesn't say, let them wish it were so. The Word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. That means to be broad about it. Be bold. Be very vocal. Be very loud about it. That's what that means. See, today we aren't fighting for victory. Today, because of what Jesus did for us when He conquered sin and death for everything else imaginable on the cross, we are fighting from victory. You understand that? We are fighting from victory. Jesus already fought the battle and was victorious. Already was. So when you are facing adversity, we should not be crying out about our problems or our situations. We should be singing out the praises of our victor. Who's our victor? Jehovah Nissi. He reigns in victory. Jehovah Nissi reigns in victory. Say, Jehovah Nissi reigns in victory. Jehovah Nissi reigns in victory. He reigns in victory for you and me. Hallelujah. You and me. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. And let me also say, He is bigger than any problem you will ever encounter. Yes, He is. Say this. Say, I am redeemed. I am free. I am free. For the Lord has set me free. I am free. Woo! For the Lord has set you free. That's who set you free. No more living under condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He set you free. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am free. Yes. Hallelujah. And when you said, you're operating in the supernatural. Supernatural people operate that way. They say, I'm free. I'm free from the sickness and disease here on this earth. I'm free from debt. I'm free, hallelujah. I don't have him knocking at my door. No. There ain't no bill collector coming to my house. No way. My bills are paid, and they're paid in full. Hallelujah. Yes. He can provide all that you need. All that you need. All we got to do is what, Sherry? Real loud. Simply believe. Simply believe is what He says. And He is able to do that. And that is to take care of your needs. He takes care of your needs. And you say, well, I got a lot of needs. He's got so much up there in heaven. There ain't nothing you can't do. Like Denny just said a couple weeks ago, we had to tell people, what? Stop bringing stuff in. We got so much clothes back there. We got room full of clothes to be able to give out. And they're good clothes. They're not garbage. They're good clothes. Good items. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord God, we thank you. Yes, Lord God. Thank you. When we speak God's goodness out loud, we are declaring God's goodness in and over our lives. When we speak of nothing but of our situations and problems, we are opening up the door for more situations and problems in and over our lives. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit of it. Watch what you say. Watch what you say. Quit talking about your situations and your problems and start thanking God for what He's already done. You got to simply believe. Because it's all motivated by love. Love. So we need to encourage ourselves all the time, don't we? We need to be declaring the good things over our lives. Every day. Every day. Because if you don't, ain't nobody else. Think about that. There's enough people talking about you, gossiping about you. They need to shut their mouths. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. That's what we got to be saying. And every word that is spoken against me in judgment, God shall condemn. Yeah. That's the heritage of the saints of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as I said, you got to be encouraging yourself. Encouraging yourself. Because David had to do it. When he was down and out, there was no one to support him or uplift him. No one. He was all alone. All they wanted to do was talk about him. They wanted to stone him. But what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And that built his faith up. And it strengthened him. And then he was what? He was victorious over the situation. And he was able, with God's help and direction, to recover all that the enemy has stole. Get your faith up. Don't let the one come in and steal from you and rob from you no more. Go back and take it back. Get your faith moving. Get it built up. How do you get faith built up? By reading and reading by the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. See, and the accuser, he's going to look for every opportunity he can to discourage you. See, because basically, he wants to take you down. He wants to take you down. But what are we supposed to do? 1 Peter 5:8 says, we ought to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's there. He's out there. A Message Bible says it like this. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. You have to make it a priority to wake up every morning declaring the blessings of God over your lives. Okay? Well, let's start right now. Say this. I'm the head and not the tail. God's promises to me are yes and amen. I am walking in the favor of God. In each and every step I take today, today I'm going to be amazed by God's goodness to me in my life. Today is a brand new day, and it's going to be a good day. It is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it all day long. Yeah. And then what you got? You got to thank Him for doing them. Yes. Thank Him for doing that. And then guess what? It's all going to start to come to pass. Because that's what you're speaking. What you're speaking into your life is what's going to happen for the day. Start your day off right. I am the head and not the tail. I have victory because the greater one is in me. And you know what one of his names is? Jehovah Nisi. He's the victor. You've got the victory. He reigns in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And his mercy endures forever. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Thank you.